Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome back. So I wanted to do this show about the Abundance of Love seminar, but this one is actually very special to me. And like I told you guys, we've been having a lot of technical difficulties. The pages are now connected and everything else. So hopefully we'll have a good live. I've got an issue with the cable company still going on, but like I told you guys, I'll be switching cable companies and they'll be subsequently soon. So we're going to address these issues with the cable company and the constant issues with that. And there's a level of provoking gaslighting BS, and I told you that Cox Cable is not recommended, and I told you guys that AT&T is not recommended. I've had nothing but degradation of service and constant issues, but that's neither here nor there. So our seminar is actually about the abundance of love and being able to accept LGBTQIQ and QIA relationships. And seeing as though today I thought it was cool that we're going to talk about something interesting, is that they did the Equality Act, and this is for LGBTQIA members of the community. So y'all know that I'm heterosexual, but I have lesbian, gay, and bi people in my family. So I don't worry about people's sexual preference. Now, the reason why I'm doing this seminar is because I had to actually put someone in their place, and it ended up being that the people that I dated were actually trade, or what they call in the closet. And I had to think about it because I dragged the heck out of them because of something that they did, and they continued to do. And that's divisive, abusive antics and playing in my personal life or professional life and trying to embarrass and humiliate me. So with that, I decided I'm going to out their personal business because it wasn't fun for them to do it to me. And they consistently have done narcissistic, provoking, gaslighting BS. Everybody knows it. But what they wouldn't have wanted anybody to know is that they are trade DL on the down low. But this led me to thinking maybe that wasn't the greatest thing to do. But then again, I was like, if you can dish it out, you can take it. Because I knew that they didn't want anybody to know it. And I had no intent on telling anybody their sexual preference because that's not something I do normally. But they've been bullying, provoking, bullying, gaslighting, aggravating, and harassing and doing everything they possibly can to mess up my life. So I was like, you're not who you're supposed to be. Why don't you embrace your life? So I did something yesterday, y'all. I'm not proud of this. I dedicated the song Duty Brown to two of my exes. And I'm telling you, I'm sorry, but not sorry. Because they've done enough playing in my face and doing enough embarrassing, humiliating things that I figured the one thing to embarrass and humiliate them was their sexual preference. But then in hindsight, I was like, that was a nice. But then I was like, you know what? I'm not sorry. But then again, I thought about it on an educational tip. Was that the right thing to do? Because everybody knows that I support the LGBTQIQ community. And everybody knows that I don't play those games because I will kill a rock and a brick about my lesbian, gay, and bi family. So everybody knows that I accept people as they are. So when this happened, I was like, let me do a seminar on acceptance. And I have this long statement that I made earlier today before I dragged my exes again because it's a constant level of gaslighting, provoking, antics that I keep up. So I explained to everybody why I did what I did. And, you know, everybody seemed to be okay because they realized, oh, she's not being malicious and her intent is to still be accepting of the community and always been accepting. So, therefore, there's no reason for the abusive divisiveness that they're doing and they deserved every bit of what they got because they didn't want anybody to know their sexual preference and things like that. I bet they're around here harassing and provoking and gaslighting this girl. Then maybe they should have tried it more lightly and then she wouldn't have done that and gone through the mirror thing that she knows would bother them. And although it happened to be the sexual preference. But again, like I told you guys, I'm the type of person to admit that I'm wrong, even though I wasn't sorry about it, because I knew it would hurt them and their reputation because they're around here acting like they're straight, and they're not. So the thing is, and then I was their leader. So I want you guys to understand that we still got to accept LGBTQIQ, and we not have to just got it. We want to. So I want you guys to understand this in the seminar about people who are growing up or are identifying as gay, bisexual, transgender, And I wanted this to be a seminar on the month of love part, on how to accept everybody as they are. Because when we think about all these different things in life, right, you never know who you're going to fall in love with. And Ma Dukes taught me one thing about love. Love is kind. Love is accepting. Love is what it is, unconditional, right? Some questions earlier today, and I'll pull them up for you guys so we can get into the seminar. And we begin to understand from a senior level, for those of us who are older, and those of us who are millennials that are older, raising second-gen and third-gen millennials, a lot of these kids are bisexual, a lot of these kids are homosexual, and they're okay with living their truth. The problem is, in this society, is we've gotten ourselves wrapped around the idea that we cannot live in our truth. And the thing is, as a heterosexual mother, and I tell you guys, in a relationship, you have to learn how to have open door policy and have a level of understanding of LGBTQIA. And you never know if your kids will end up being LGBTQIA or actually identify as such from birth. So when I think about this, about the social, personal, and health education that we need to be at with LGBTQIA and QIQ communities, we have to get to a point that we accept every community and come as you are. Because just like in the Bible, it says come as you are, correct? And it says for you to be who you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be. And get why I said who you're supposed to be. We cannot change anybody. You cannot pray the gay, the lesbian, the transsexual, the bisexual, the queer, or the intersex out of someone. So therefore, we as a society have to learn how to accept it. Okay? And when I tell you guys learning how to accept something is learning how to be able to understand it from that retrospect and then begin to also find a way to add a level of love, affection, and a level and layer of being able to understand that love is kind, love is real. So when we're talking about this and the abundance of love, and we're talking about a level and layer of understanding how a person should be able to love someone who is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and as a resource, and with me being in human resources as my business degree, and also my minor was in human resources, I wanted this to be a resource and a seminar of the awareness that we need to have and increase the understanding of LGBTQIQ, QIA, and sexual orientation and gender identity. So with the Equality Act, I thought it was great that we could get to a point that we go and understand gender identity and reduce the levels of prejudice and discrimination that happens against people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, which the terms are LGBTQ, IQ, and QIA. So when thinking about this in terms of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and then transgender, intersex, and then asexual, and then we have queer. I don't like using the term queer because it's just some people use it to make people feel bad about who they are. So I wanted to extend this olive branch to the LGBTQIQ, QIA community as a way to do an abundance of love heart seminar so that we can extend a level of crossing the line and learning how not to cross the line of discrimination, disrespect of the homosexual, gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual community. So with that being said, there's a lot of people who grow up lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, you just don't know it, or they may be intersex, which means they're a hermaphrodite and they have to choose their sex. In that, we want to learn how to have respectful communication in these modules and gender understanding and coming out to self if you are gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, homosexual, or intersex or queer. So when we think about homophobic bullying or homophobic levels of homophobia, transphobia, that comes out there. I want to have this specifically because of the trans community that goes through a layer of disrespect worse than homophobic communities of people who are homophobic towards homosexuals. Transgender identity is something different, and we all need to have this conversation. We all need to have this conversation because a lot of people are afraid of coming out as transgender because a lot of transgenders are getting killed. So with that being said, because there's so much homophobia, transphobia, So with that being said, we need to understand the sexual orientation and gender identity roles and coming out to self versus coming out to others. So as y'all know, I'm a cisgendered heterosexual female. But again, I have lesbian, gay family, and bisexual family. So when it comes down to prejudice and discrimination and the levels and layers to that, we need to be supportive and celebrate the community at large. So with that being said, a lot of people, like I said, grow up lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and as a resource and a level of support to the gay, lesbian, transgendered, bisexual community, I want you guys to understand the levels of when people are growing up like this and having to come out and literally tell someone it's more of a feat than you know. I had some friends in college, and this is a small story. I had some friends in college that dated each other because their parents were in a church. And this is why I said, if you're Christian, what does being gay, sexual, bisexual have to do with you serving God? Because that is God's creation, not God's abomination. So I caught wind of somebody who said that, and it pissed me off. And I thought to myself, why would somebody gay, lesbian, homosexual, bisexual, transgender be an abomination of God when God makes us all? Okay? So when we think about teachers and us as managers or business owners and students alike, we've got to get to a point that we become more of a resource and an ally for the LGBTQIA community, transgender especially community, and homosexual, whether you're black or white, community. Because when we think about the understanding and awareness about sexual orientation, we have to think about the story I'm about to talk to you guys about. So I had friends in college who dated each other, and the reason why they dated each other because they were each other's peers. And it's what I told you why what happened with that story when I first got started, but then I linked into my Periscope because I wanted you guys to hear this before anybody else. So what I did to my exes was because it was a justifiable, you're playing in my face, but you're not living your truth. So since it's funny to play in my face and invade my privacy, then I want everybody to know your sexual preference and people to accept you as you are. But you like playing in my face about my personal life and certain things that you had no business doing. So if you don't want me telling people about you being gay and me being your beard, then don't play in my face. But then I thought about it, and after the fact, I was like, you know, that wasn't nice. But the thing is, they deserved it because you're not living your truth, but you're playing in my face and you're trying to humiliate, torment, and provoke and gaslight me. But hindsight is 2020. So that's no here nor there. So I decided that I was going to do a seminar, Abundance of Love, and say, I still accept you, heart, as you are. A lot of the things in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender communities are normal. If you sit down and listen to somebody who's gay, lesbian, transsexual, homosexual, or bisexual, and once you have a TED Talk with somebody like that, and you begin to sit there and say to yourself, there's a lot of homophobia, a lot of transphobia, and there's a lot of bisexual phobia. Sex is sex. It doesn't matter how you do it. If you love somebody, it doesn't matter how you do it. So addressing homophobic bullying, which is one of the most common forms of harassment or degradation of somebody for their sexual preference, and this Abundance of Love Heart seminar, in the month of Abundance of Love, I wanted to save the best for last, because a lot of these things in homophobic bullying, transgender bullying, and the killings that happen to transgenders and why they pushed the Equality Act is transgenders also need to be able to serve in the military. There is a way to do it, and it's a way to do it, demographically put it in the DEERS system. And it's a way for them to have housing as well and have VAH and all this other kind of stuff and still clear out their apartment, homeless security, do the same exact thing. I thought of it because I thought, why can't a transgender serve? Why can't a homosexual serve? It's not like the homosexual wants anybody straight. They know you're straight. Same thing with a lesbian. A lesbian knows you're straight. You don't have to tell them a million times because they're, I hate to tell you guys, their gaydar, their lesbian radar, will let them know. When we talk about this and the harassment that gay people have, homosexual people have, and then transgenders get it 10 times worse, there's no excuse for it because those who are perceived as LGBTQIA or who may have LGBTQIA family members is also affecting young people who witness or participate in it. So think about what I'm saying. So in my aim in this resource is to develop a raised awareness of this. And then when we're talking about levels of protections for LGBTQIA, we're dealing with abuse. a lot of LGBTQIA2SU people go through the same things as heterosexuals go through. In fact, they're more afraid to go to police departments and agencies because they don't think they're going to be listened to, and they don't think that the person's going to take them serious. And the reason why I'm doing this advocacy right now is because I had friends who went through it, and those were my same college friends. And when I went through college, I realized how hard it is for somebody who's LGBTQIA2IQ community to come out as they are and be accepted as they are, and how ignorant some people really are when it comes down to being LGBTQIAQIQ. So when I thought about the relevant levels of support to the LGBTQIA community, and I'm heterosexual, I figured it would be okay to not be a follower but be a leader and talk about these different things and not participate in discrimination and humiliation of the LGBTQIA community, seeing as though I've got family members who are, and then I've got bisexual family members. And I love them dearly, and they know it. So when we're talking about a level of respect within human rights, and then we think about frameworks of levels of human rights and things that are moving along in this history, in this era, the Equality Act, and our speaker, Nancy Pelosi, did a great job speaking on it and talking about the levels of the Equality Act and what it's for. And our president, Joe Biden, is one of the most amazing, understanding people that I've ever had the chance to sit there and watch in action as the president, and our vice president, Kamala Harris, who is also a level layer of support, that I truly feel like they're trying to raise a level of awareness and acceptance, and alongside change the mindsets of others without forcing a change, but teaching. So with that, I want to provide enough information and support to their efforts of the Equality Act and the level of awareness of not understanding how it is and growing up LGBTQIA for those who have grown up like that, and also for each group of people who are in special protected classes, special needs, or anything like that, or outside that realm, anything else that is under the Title IX, Title 13, Title 11, Title 7, and Title 5 of the Department of Justice paperwork for those adequate protections. So with that being said, the story I'm about to tell you also to overlap the things that happened at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando. When we think about all the people who have been killed because they're LGBTQIA, or they identify in a certain manner that does not seem normal or deem normal as our regular Christians, as y'all like to say it, and you see how stupid that sounds, us regular Christians? Anybody who's of a Christian or Christianity understands that God's Bible or paperwork, the New Testament, Old Testament, did not say interpret it just so it can make you comfortable. It says in the New Testament and the Old Testament that you come as you are and be loved as you are in the house of the Lord, correct? So when we think about this, coming out as bi, lesbian, gay, transgender is a feat in itself. So the story that you're about to hear with my people that I went to school with, the two of them got together and started dating each other because their parents were in the church. And the hardest thing for a child to do is say, Mom, I'm gay. Dad, I'm gay. Or, Mom, I'm lesbian. Dad, I'm lesbian. Or, Mom, I'm bi. Dad, I'm bi. So with that being said, what do you think it would be for a transgender to come to Mom and Dad and say, Mom, Dad, I want to be a girl, when they're a cisgendered male? Or when they have to go to Dad and say, Dad, I want to, or if it's a girl, saying, Dad, I want to be a boy, and they're cisgendered female. So when we're thinking about integrating levels of social acceptance in health education and being able to reduce the ignorance that people have, part of that Equality Act helps paved the way and the road to a level of integrated social and personal economic levels of acceptance. So when we think about this story that I told you guys, that they dated each other for this one reason, and both of them sat down and talked to me, they're like, I'm surprised you're actually accepting of homosexuality and lesbianism. I said, what made you think that? Well, you're heterosexual. We thought you weren't going to accept this. I said, do I look like that type of person? They're like, you always carry yourself in such a manner that it was a level of, I have RBF. resting bee face. So they know I'm always serious. So they thought I was a square type of person who does not accept other people. And because I have RBF, you know what it is, resting bee face, they always thought that I was a stuck-up person and that I would not accept someone as they are. So when I told them, I said, I don't care. I've got actually lesbian and gay people in my family, and they're close to me. And they were like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. They were like, why didn't you say something? I was like, I just waited for you guys to come out because I figured you were gay. I figured you were lesbian. So they were like, so we could have had this talk a long time ago. And I was like, yeah. And when they were like, and I asked them questions, I said, why haven't you told your mom? Why haven't you told your dad? Well, when they explained to me that their moms and dads were in the church and that they were Christians and they don't condone it, I felt so bad for them. So I said, what happened with you guys? I heard you guys dated. How are you lesbian? How are you gay? And you dated each other. Well, they said, well, we figured it out when we had sex with each other and we didn't like it. It's not, there's nothing wrong with her. It's nothing wrong with him. They just didn't like it because they don't like the opposite sex. So long story short, when they told me that and we all asked about it, I was able to normalize their sexuality and they explained what their hangups were and why they used each other for a beard. I wanted to have this month of love heart seminar about LGBTQIA and growing up LGBTQIA because I had a chance to talk to people who are. And now my homeboy is now married. He has a husband. My homegirl, she dates girls, and she has some girlfriends back to back. And I learned to accept him when a friend of mine went to jail. And I learned to accept him even further because I used to hang out with him. And the friend of mine found out that I was hanging out with lesbian and gay people. And I was going to the bars with him. Okay, that's when I drank. So I went to the bars with these people, and I had fun. And they would tell everybody, oh, she's heterosexual in the group. She doesn't go that route. And I went to this place called Carpet and a place called Emerald City before. So this is from the hometown that I grew up in. And it's a great place. And they have great drag shows. They have a lot of performances, fun stuff. Okay? So I went there, and I had fun. And, you know, I had a homeboy in New Jersey, and his name was Richard. He used to go to the actual Pride Parade. And he came back with a rainbow cake, and it was funny. And I remember him saying, happy birthday! And he just fucked up. It was funny, and I used to love him to piece it. So when I tell you that I've been around lesbian, gay, bisexual, homosexual, transsexual a long time, I never looked at them different. So the funny part about it is when I went out with my people, to these places, I had the best good time, and I'm heterosexual, and everybody knows I like dudes. And the funny part about it, they would tell people before I could. They're like, don't try her. She's not lesbian at all. She's heterosexual, and she has a boyfriend. She's up here with us. And they would laugh, and I remember all the community would sit there and have fun with me, and we would dance, have a good time. Well, the guy heard about it. He's like, I heard you're gay and lesbian. I said, no, I'm not. First of all, it's lesbian. And second of all, I'm not. If I'm not having sex with you. And then two, I was like, what's it to you? He didn't know I had lesbian, gay, bisexual family members. That nothing to him. Other than, what makes you think it's okay to get mad and accuse me of being a lesbian just because I'm hanging out with people who are lesbian and gay? And another person close to me is homophobic. And I had to get on him because he made somebody close to me cry about being bi. And he accused me because my other homegirl is lesbian. So in that, I learned how ignorant homophobic some people are because they either had an encounter or something happened to them. And not everybody who gets taken advantage of is homosexual after that happens. So I wanted to quote that. And the framework that people don't understand about homosexuality is not because if somebody gets molested that they become homosexual. Or if they just turned gay. I hate that terminology. I hate those type of things that people say, because those are the ignorance that the people that I dated, and come to find out, one of them was molested. So that's where his homophobia came from. So when it comes down to it, and the guy I was dating that went to jail, and then he had heard about it, that somebody was burning their mouth and told him that I was hanging out with people who were lesbians, he accused me of being lesbian. Sex on a regular basis when I liked having sex with you, not when you forced and took sex. Where's the lesbian at? Let's be honest. So with that being said, that shut him up real quick. And then he was like, well, would you ever try it with a woman? I was like, okay. I told you guys that I dipped my toe in the lady's pond one time. Didn't like it. It's not my thing. And I told you guys that's not my preference. I like, duh. And everybody knows it. So with that being said, I'm not one to go and drag people for their homosexuality. But if you're going to be in the closet and play in my personal life and exploit my personal life or escapades in life when I was having fun, cutting up, let my hair down, and got a little loose and decided to do something, what right did you have to sit there and reveal my private affairs? Okay. So when we're talking about LGBTQIQQIA, I want everybody to understand it. And I'm open-minded. So I wish we would get to an androgynous level where sex doesn't matter, where it doesn't matter if you're bi, gay, lesbian, straight. If you want to have sex with somebody that's a male, then have sex with somebody who's a male. Want to have sex with somebody who's a girl, then have sex with somebody who's a girl, and don't worry about what somebody's doing behind closed doors. None of your business. That's how I feel about it. So with that being said, a lot of people don't understand that the comprehensive levels of understanding that in a school setting is an integral part of general normalization of education provisions that should be happening now in this day and age of first-gen millennials, second-gen millennials, third-gen millennials, and the possibility that your son or daughter might be gay. It might be a potential that your son or daughter might decide to be transgender and switch to the other side of the sex that they weren't born with. So when we think about all of this, and we think about young people who are LGBTQIA or QIQ or similar, those are young people who are going to face a lot of these things in high school, middle school, elementary. So understanding the prejudice and discrimination is part of that. So here's the aim of all of this: to help young and older people understand and develop friendships and relationships with those of the LGBTQIA, QIQ community, and put the adequate protections there, promote understanding of sexuality, and then promote a positive attitude towards one's own sexuality and other ones in their relationships, their marriages, or the decisions of their sexual preference. So with that, I wanted to have this conversation and have it in real time as a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach, and also a children and adolescents coach. So when we talk about enabling young people to develop attitudes and values towards sexuality in a moral, spiritual, social framework, children accept what everybody considers not normal or unacceptable, when it clearly is. So let me give you guys a quick run-through of history. In Greek mythology, and if you knew your history, they had orgies. Male on male, female on female, and balls to the wall, round and round, orgy world, okay? So when we're talking about levels and layers of sexuality and androgyny, that's androgyny. So when we think about understanding sexuality and being able to get to the root of how people become homophobic or a level of transphobic, they've got to learn to start accepting people as they are, come as you are, under the guise of the Lord or the house of the Lord or in a society created by the Lord and in favor. So when we think about this, acquire the understanding and skills necessary so that we can have healthy friendships and relationships and accept the other relationships that we see, that we deem as abnormal. So the reason why I'm also doing this is also on special needs. And as a special needs Asperger's high-functioning gifted person, my Asperginess made me begin to accept people naturally because I realized I wasn't accepted as Asperger's. I was always the odd woman out. I was always the oddball weirdo, emo, you're weird, okay? And I'm one with my Asperginess superpowers. So with that being said, I wanted to become a level of support and ally to LGBTQIA communities and become aware of different things that I might be ignorant of. So with that, parents are primary educators of LGBTQIA and having TED Talks and understanding about that. So any educators of children have to have an open door policy, including up to sexuality. And in the area of relationships and sexuality, as a mother, I've had these conversations with my child. They're awkward. And as my kid says, awkward. I'm like, okay, let's have an awkward moment. And let's talk about sexuality. And let's talk about relationships and the awareness of the culture within and the culture within the household and outside of the household. My mother sat me down a long time ago when I was younger, a little kid, about 6 years old. And she told me that love has no color. Love has no sexual preference. And love is kind, and love is endearing, and love is accepting. So with that, I learned that love has no color, it has no preference. So I always accepted it as is. So as I was growing up, and as a young person, and in my lifetime, I've met so many homophobic people who are so, for lack of a better word, goddamn ignorant, who sit in religious, civic, moral, high horses, and their personal values and their levels of thumping Bibles is backwards as hell. And I wish to pass this on to them and the rest of the peanut gallery that doesn't like LGBTQIQ people or QIA communities to beat gender jokes or homophobic jokes. It's just like fat jokes. There's nothing funny about it. Not everybody chooses to be fat. Not everybody chooses to be skinny, and skinny doesn't always equate to healthy, just like my mother said. Just like being fat doesn't equate to being unhealthy. So we need to have these conversations about homophobia, transphobia, sexual phobias that we all have out here. And I'm not just saying anybody, but everybody. That most people, and I mean we, meaning you, all the audience, develop growing up when your families don't accept sexuality and the realm of everybody, but they got, but the gays though, but the trans though, but the homosexual though, but the lesbians though. There's not supposed to be any but in it. No pun intended, y'all. So don't, please don't make any jokes, and I don't find it funny. If you do it, I will block you. So when you think about the civic and moral personal values that we all have been raised with, you have to think it comes from within in your household. And in a light-infused household, an abundant-infused household, unity-infused household, I learned that you have to school each other before you scold anybody else. So to pass on this level of programmatic and schematic and levels of consultation when I have to talk to parents and things like that as a life coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, health coach, there are going to be times where I'll have to break it that your son is gay, ma'am. Your son wants to become transgendered, ma'am, or sir. Or your daughter is lesbian, sir, or ma'am, and your daughter likes women. So in that, we need to take these opportunities to familiarize parents first with the levels of LGBTQIQ and understanding that they may have that, ought to have an open door policy, but the opportunities to familiarize yourself, and then on top of that, teaching levels of understanding and acceptance of LGBTQIQ. So, therefore, the seminar is a level of understanding that and a way for me to give back to the LGBTQIQ, QIA communities and the Abundance of Love Month part. So, when we're talking about the moral framework, this part of that is a moral, spiritual, social framework to go and create positive attitudes to sexuality that can be expressed in a responsible manner, either online, offline, and respectful attitudes and behavior towards oneself and others. So when we think about the attitudes, it's not just personal and private matter, but it's the social and community implications of that matter and accepting this, whether you're in school, not in school, in a community or environment. So we think about the core values and the ethos of that, and we think about schools and the articulated levels of policy that schools have to go and start to adopt, and this framework, and the Equality Act helps that. So when we're thinking about all of this, and when somebody or your friend sits up there and makes a gay joke or a lesbian joke, stop them in their tracks and say, you know what? I can't change how you feel about gay people. I can't change what you feel in preference, but I can stop you in your tracks about your gay jokes, your lesbian jokes. There's nothing funny about it. So in that, I want you guys to understand the appropriate needs in students and learning and understanding educators to be an ally to LGBTQIQ, QIA students that are becoming adolescent children and young adults. And then on top of that, the school ethos in LGBTQIA people is that many schools do not have enough levels of religious ethos, spirituality, and respect for that. And sometimes teachers have to learn that sometimes in their mannerisms and their ways towards LGBTQIQ, QIA community of students that are at school can shape that narrative too. So with that, a school can address LGBTQIQ, QIA issues or levels of standards, a policy that envelope that in a school setting or in a college setting for things like that. Because in school management and school bodies and the joint levels of managerial things that teachers do with the managers and school counselors, to be able to understand what represents a majority or a minority of people, and then our level of resources that need to be provided to the schools and the Department of Education can lead the charge for that and begin to understand that the level layer of you'll have a lot more students enrolling in your colleges, your community colleges, or even in your high schools and things like that and not dropping out if you begin to go and understand there's a level of acceptance. And just because you may be Christian does not mean that you have a right to discriminate against someone's preference or right to love someone who is of the same sex or opposite sex. In the sense of if they identify as female and go to male and they get with another female. Or if they're a male and identify and want to be a female and become transgender and get with another male. They have every right to do that. But what we don't have the inherent right to do is insult them and humiliate them or make them feel bad. That's why I told you guys about what I did to my exes that were in the closet, playing games about my personal life and exploiting my personal life and things like that and thought it was funny. So it wasn't funny when I did it to them. So I wanted to go and take you back off of that and use that as a lesson for everybody on social media and also to use that as a lesson for us all to learn. And the reason why I put those men in their place is because their fathers don't know, their mothers don't know, but their mothers are playing around about my child and certain things that may cause issues, and that's why I did what I did. So I wanted you guys to understand the lesson in all that and the ethos of this is that if you don't want somebody humiliating you and hurting you, then don't hurt somebody else by exploiting them. But in that, I wanted to take the lesson in the classroom teaching part of this, and as a graduated person in human resources and things like that, I'm going to come across people making gay jokes, lesbian jokes, bisexual, homosexual jokes, and things like that against people of that community, and I'm not going to stand for it because I'll fire you. I will literally, it's inappropriate, I will walk you out, and I will dox you as an eligible to rehire for humiliating, harassing, or discriminating against someone who is of the LGBTQIQ community because I have family members who are LGBTQIA. So with that being said, I also have friends that I went to college with, and I understood the framework about that. So when we think about supporting the effective delivery of this, meaning that we as human resources personnel and business managers and business owners have to also do that in our business and not just have to but want to. Here's why. When you think about the issues that come along with refusing to serve somebody gay, lesbian, what right do you have to do that? They're people like anybody else. If somebody comes into CC Fashionista Closet, my e-commerce horse website, and says, I want you to do my quinceañera, but my son or my daughter is gay or lesbian. Okay, so what do you want with your quinceañera? That's all I need to ask. I'm going to say, is your daughter gay, lesbian? I don't care. Because at the end of the day, money is money. That's how I think as a business person. So if somebody says, I want to do a bar mitzvah, or I want to do this, that, and the other, or I want to do an event, a special event, but my son is gay. Then how do you want it done? That's all you have to ask. You don't refuse to serve somebody just because of their sexual preference, or if they bring their husband in or husband-to-be in, or if they bring their wife or their wife-to-be into your shop. So let's go over that experience of the business owner who refused to do a cake for a lesbian couple just because they were lesbian. And refuse to take their money. How is it Christian for you to refuse to bank a cake for someone for their wedding and refuse to serve them? That is a level of phobia so bad that you would sit there and refuse money in a business because somebody chooses to love someone of the same sex. So make it make sense. So we're talking about this and the relationship between the teacher and the student and a business owner and how you teach others acceptance is that I want you guys to understand that you've got to learn to accept other things that are not of your norm. So when you think about setting the limits and boundaries of people who have phobias, transphobia, homophobia, and we have learned to teach our teachers, even in the classroom, to be accepting of this, that's where that framework comes from. And then the assessment of students and the student body and things like that. And then in business, assessment of business owners not being racist, homophobic, and having a level and layer of understanding of that. Hey, Boo. How are you? I see you. So we're talking about participation and the support of this and the Equality Act. I want you to, good, I'm glad you can't complain. I can't either. I take the best out of days, even when they're the worst. But thank you so much. Good seeing you. So when we're talking about a level and layer of how research tells us about LGBTQI experiences and people in school, and that means high school, middle school, and levels of layers of how they feel growing up lesbian, gay, transsexual, bisexual, and as a heterosexual, I figured it would be good to do a level and layer of understanding for all the communities and people who have to experience this and explain to you guys the numbers. And it's widely recognized that LGBTQIA, QIA students are part of a very varied school environment, and consequently, schools need to be inclusive of these programmatics and frameworks. So when we think about that, an Irish research consistently reveals that young people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender have a negative experience at school, and the stress of this causes them to put them at a greater risk of not achieving their full potential, developing self-esteem, and then leaving school early, and experiencing mental health problems and emotional problems from not being accepted. So becoming involved in self-harming behavior because they're not being widely accepted and being able to be ushered into the echelon of school and school community without being berated, belittled, and made to feel bad about their choice and sexual preference. So now you know why people hide. So now you know why I did what I did. Because as a report funded by the National Office of Suicide Prevention and Health Services Executives, they came and examined experiences of 1,110 LGBTQIA, QIQ community students and LGBT in Ireland, and it found that most common ages people realize that they're lesbian, gay, and transgender is 12 years old. So that's where you're about your hormones are getting settled in, and you're starting to go smell yourself, and you're like, oh, yeah, smells like Teen Spirit, superstar. You know, and you're thinking about that as a 12-year-old, and you're out there trying to be a teenager. I knew I was heterosexual all my life. It does not mean that we get curious and figure out what's going to happen out there in our older life. And then we realize, okay, that was something I wanted to do. Okay? Especially if we get introduced to it or we get coerced into doing something to satisfy our partner. That's what happened with me. So I realized that I didn't like it. But he used it against me and tried to exploit it. But when I turn around and do something to them, they want to play victim. And I thought it was funny to do what I did because I put the song Judy Brown on them. And then I thought, I tried that in poor taste, but then they deserve what they got because you're hiding as a straight man and you have women for your beard, which is not fair to that woman. So what I wanted to talk to you guys about this is in relationships, the same thing can happen in dating. And this is where we're going to go here and have this taboo conversation. Men, if you explain to your woman a fantasy you have, it's fine if you're open and honest. When you're in the closet about your sexuality or your openness or your fluidity, then how can that woman know how to help you to fulfill your fantasies? She might be open-minded and say, you know what, you want that? And guess what, let me go get the strap on and help you out. So those type of things like that, if you learn how to not hide in the closet, will help a lot of men be able to be comfortable in their sexuality and stop the homophobia. About the transphobia or the biphobia that people have created in this narrative for the last 20 years. So with that being said, I want you guys to understand why I'm doing this seminar as well. So when you think about a transgender and lesbian, gay, bisexual, homosexual, and a common age that they disclose their sexual preferences around 12, 13 years old. How do you think a child feels having to sit there and hide who they are from their parents, who might create a foundation of homophobic jokes, homosexual jokes, or say things that cross the line to homophobia, biphobia, transphobia? So would you think that a child will feel comfortable coming out as lesbian, gay, bisexual, homosexual, and whatnot? When you think about this, the lessons that we're going to address in each one of these seminars that I'll unpack is the following things here. Understanding lesbian, gay, bisexual, homosexual, transgender, LGBTQIA issues will help us in the Equality Act and ushering it in with opening arms and saying, heart, I love you all in the community and non-community. And as a heterosexual woman, when you're coming out to self and others, nobody should make you feel bad if you love the same sex. Or if you are transgender and you identify as a woman but you're still like the men, it's nothing wrong with you dating as long as you disclose it to others. Because I'm speaking from the heterosexual sense, and after I had these TED Talks with people who are lesbian, gay, transsexual, bisexual, I wanted to be able to have everybody else understand it from a heterosexual who's listened to homosexual, bisexual, transsexual talk about it. And I learned of the prejudices and the discrimination that they get, and it really made me feel bad for them. And I wanted to celebrate and support the Equality Act with this seminar. So with that being said, we think about the context of understanding, developing strategies for decisions and decision-making in schooling, non-schooling, in our environment, consistent with personal moral integrity, and being respectful of the rights and dignity of others. So with the respect and dignity and the rights to others is that if they want to be loved, being gay, transsexual, homosexual, bisexual, that is their preference, that's fine. None of us who are heterosexual have the right to make them feel bad or make them have to go sit in a closet somewhere and feel bad about it. So when we think about this, we think about the value of human life, family life and value, and appreciate the responsibilities of parenthood, as well as being an adult and understanding as a life coach, health coach, wellness coach, how to help others feel better about themselves. And then on top of that, that human physiology, in particular levels of understanding of this, and identity and exploration of that, and development of sexual understanding and sexual roles, stereotyping, gender issues that come along with this, and cultural influences on sexuality. So understanding that physiology, that physiological or physiology and things like that of the reproductive cycle, hormonal cycles, human fertility, and sexually transmitted disease infections is not just the gay community. In fact, studies are showing that heterosexual communities are even worse, and they are literally transmitting diseases at a faster, higher rate than homosexual and lesbian relationships. So I wanted to debunk that myth. So when we think about all of these different things, and we think about core curriculum, and we're thinking about levels of society and self-worth and self-efficacy, sense of security and safety in a society and a school of life and a school of hard knocks in life, we have to learn that situations and opportunities we have to seize the day, vindivitivici, I shame myself, I conquered, and begin to realize the lifelong processes of acquiring knowledge and understanding. We have to be able to understand sexual identity, relationships, and intimacy in its whole entirety. So with that, we have to understand the level of understanding human physiology with that and how the tickets go and all that. And then we also have to understand the responsibilities as parents when we have our TED Talks for our kids that we're not being homophobic, transphobic, biphobic in those conversations when we have awkward sexual conversations. So we got to make everybody in any community feel valued, respected, boost their self-esteem when they come out, respect and fairness. Those are some of the things and the key points of what I want to talk about today. And make it be evident that there is a why, and if you don't accept it, then sit on your hands and don't say anything, or don't type it, or don't tweet it. Then on top of that, think about and don't post it in groups about people's sexuality or sexual preferences or sexual escapades. None of you guys know why I did what I did, because I knew that I was going to do an LGBTQIA seminar. But open communication is the norm. That includes opening the door to what we consider abnormal. An effort to recognize and begin to understand that we're not just beginning to say you're rewarding homosexuality. It's not. What we're doing is rewarding people for being accepting of all walks of life. Those of us who support the community. And then uniqueness and difference that is valued in that. And that each unique person, whether they're heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, or transgender, each unique person fall in love with the brand and the soul before you fall or you have an issue with their sexual preference. Because I found that I watched a couple of episodes on the YouTube, and there was a panel. Armand Wiggins did. Armand Wiggins had a panel of gay guys. They had such a cool conversation. And I was hooked on it the whole entire time. And y'all know, little old heterosexual me sat there and was like, really? Cool. And they had the funniest conversation. I laughed, I pee-peed, and then I learned something. So him breaking ground with that level of a six panel with people who are gay and transgendered was so cool. And the social moral level of civic values of acceptance, they promoted it. But the thing is, it made me want to piggyback off of that and say, you know what? What is wrong with what they are doing? Nothing. It also made me think, we need to have this conversation. And then, on top of that, as a person who may go into teaching when I retire from industry, I want to have a comprehensive delivery in my TED Talks and opportunities to be able to understand things and sit with people who are transgender, gay, lesbian, like I have before, and continue to understand the community, have a wider community of allyship with heterosexual people like myself and others to be able to understand it. So young people are exposed to a wide variety of messages about sexual behavior and identity. And then on top of that, the culture within that they live in, that they become more accepting and don't do what their parents are doing or anybody else outside of their parents are doing to go make them feel bad about having a friend that's gay, bisexual, transgender, or homosexual. So the culture within that we have to talk about is to be able to consult with the children, even as a life coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, and times where a parent may divorce and say, I'm divorcing because my son's gay. What's the reason for that, sir? You not understand that just something gay is all dorms, and you're not going to pray the gay out of them? You're not going to beat the gay out of them? Sir, ma'am, you're not going to beat the lesbian out of your daughter's son? You're not going to beat the gay out of them. You're not going to pray the damn gay out of them. So I don't want to say it that way, but in a professional mindset, it can say, sir, ma'am, your son or daughter is in the LGBTQIQ community because they're born that way. And they realized it at this age and as a teenager decided that this is their preference. There is nothing you can do about it but love them through it and accept them through it so they do not develop mental health issues and problems and the narrative of what you're doing in the household. So do you see how professionally I did that? So when we're talking about students themselves and parents of these students themselves and learning to accept things. So as a life coach, wellness coach, I am informing any LGBTQI community person who is a MSW, LSW to come on board at my corporation to be able to help a lot of people who need to understand that. And as a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, some doctors who are gay and lesbian to come on board as specialists. So when we talk about this in a coaching setting, that most parents who are heterosexual and raising a child that may become an adult that is lesbian, homosexual, and bisexual, or become transgender, that we begin to understand the levels of narratives that need to be accepted. And then those in Child Protective Services do not think that it's okay and whatnot to go press the issue of making that person be heterosexual when they're not. So as a protector of children and advocate of children, we've got to learn how to understand children and their sexual preference and adults. And young adults and adolescents, that's why I have Teen Wall Heart. a level of acceptance, and why I'm saying that I want life coaches and wellness coaches, health coaches that are of the LGBTQIAQIQ community, so that when you have parents who are heterosexual, who have these issues and these phobias, you can help the parents understand and then begin to explain to children who might not quite understand it themselves, but they know what they like and what they love. So you can help them through it. So in case they are runaways or their kids who are feeling some type of way and they end up in our office, you can be able to explain it to them, and then you can better do it than I can because you are of that community. That's what I want them hired on. So I don't discriminate in hiring either. So when we think about all of these different things, we're thinking about the ethos, and it's just like the warrior ethos. But we got to begin in our small groups and begin to go into a wider community about the understanding of sexual preference, sexual needs, and orientations and gender identities for that reason. And the sensitivity of these many topics can piss people off, but so what? In this sense, we have to learn how to begin to have 50 at school, because the numbers are 58% reported existence of homophobic bullying in their school. What does it tell you? Over 58% of people out of 100% school body, there's 58% of reported bullying and harassment and discrimination in a school setting. That means even as a child, adolescent, young adult, or high schooler are going through this, much less college. So over 50% have been called abusive names by fellow students. What does it say to you? 34% reported homophobic comments by teachers and other staff members. What does that tell you? Enablement of homophobia, biphobia, transphobia. 25% have been physically threatened by peers. 40% have been verbally threatened by fellow students because they were or thought to be LGBTQIA without even knowing. So let's talk about participation in schools. We think about 72% felt that they wouldn't be themselves or couldn't be themselves at school. 20% admitted to missing school because they felt threatened, and they were afraid of getting hurt at school. What does it tell you? Over 20% felt that way? That's a high number. 5% left school because they thought they were being treated as a consequence of their LGBTQIA identity or preference. So when we're talking about support in schools, that means high school, adolescents, young adults. In that, 60% said that there wasn't a teacher or another adult in school that they could talk to, meaning counselors, staff, principals. 4% said that there was open discussion of issues of LGBTQIA anti-bullying seminars, but it wasn't enough of them. 4% said that there was a written policy to protect LGBTQIA students from homophobic bullying, but that's not enough of a level of protections and adequate protections policy in school. So with this new knowledge, what does that say to you guys? What does it say to you guys about the impact of homophobia, bullying, growing visibility of LGBTQIA students in schools near, far, and wide, international, and national? It presents new challenges for schools, just like it does law enforcement, to protect LGBTQIQ, whether you're a heterosexual law enforcement officer or child protective services officer. So when you think about this, we have to aid the schools, and we have to go outside of the schools in our community to begin to teach about homophobia and transphobia, biphobia, and learn to get people to accept it because it's becoming dangerous for LGBTQIQ, QIA community people. So with that, I was hoping that the level and depth of this seminar got through to everybody, because the Civil Partnership and Certain Rights of Cohabitants Act of 2010 was an act that was enacted for same-sex couples to register their civil partnership in the same way as opposite-sex couples do for marriage. So when we think about the legal rights and obligations that civil partners assume upon registering as civil partners, are a wide-ranging, extensive effort to normalize gay, lesbian, transgender, bi people and people of color and non-color and all walks of minority life, and also those of the Caucasian persuasion, life of homosexual, transgender, bisexual. So when you think about the legal rights obligations and the extensive level of things to recognize marriage as love is love, love has no color, love has no gender, we have to think about the rights including equivalent treatment of married couples across a whole range of areas, including maintenance, inheritance, succession, and social welfare, pensions, taxation, immigration, and citizenship, succession, enduring power of attorney, and civil partnership, and similar married spouses, and employment and provision of those services. So that's where that act came from in 2010. So a critical gap in the civil partnership of this legislation, and this, where I'm going to close it out at, is the lack of provisions in parenting and lack of protections in parenting those that are of the LGBTQIA community. And there are a number of LGBTQI people and couples and things like that, and also in military. So when the Equality Act came along, and I thought that was amazing, it shows an abundance of acceptance, unification, and a level of love and acceptance of those who want to serve in the military. So when we think about applying guardianship, and we think about levels of these different things with non-biological parents and being able to change these things in adoptions and things like that, we've got to first accept heterosexual or homosexuality and LGBTQ. We've already widely accepted heterosexualism, right? So we think about homosexuality, right? And we think about the levels and layers of that and the non-acceptance of it, transgender and the non-acceptance of it, then we have to think about being able to go and accept it as is so that we can normalize LGBTQIQ parents and QIA parents who may want to get levels of guardianship or adoption of children and be able to have an abundance of love to give to those children and it be recognized as normal. So that's where that act came from. And then the same-sex couples or civilly partnered couples can apply to adopt, and it's not going to be a problem. But the first things we have to do is accept homosexuality, transgendered, and identities before that can happen. So when we think about this, couples who are confined to heterosexuality and things like that as the norm need to stop doing that. Because the manner of to which to go use the Bible to exclude people to go to church, and when the Lord and the Savior said, I come as you are, it didn't say but the gays, though. And the I am abundant mindset didn't say but the gays, though. It didn't say but the lesbian, though. It didn't say but the trans, though. And I am abundant mindset and in the Lord's mindset, the same exact thing. You have to look at it like this. It said, come as you are and serve God as you are. So it means the gays, the lesbians, the transsexual, bisexual, and whatnot. So when we think about all of these different things, we have to think about this within the Department of Education, skill set, and TED Talks that we all need to have. So I hope this abundance of love seminar was good. I hope that you guys liked it. I hope that you guys understand why I'm doing that. Because I want everybody to know that you have a right to be loved and love who you want to love. You have a right to be married to who you want to be married to. You have a right to have sex with whoever you want to. And you have a right to not live in a closet. And I'm not going to accept anybody putting somebody in a closet or making them feel bad. You have a choice of what you want. You have a choice of what you want to love, who you want to love. In my book and business, love has no color, it has no gender, it has no sex, and all money is legal, whether it comes from somebody gay, lesbian, homosexual, bisexual, and I could care less. As long as you love each other, what does it matter to me? So with that being said, I hope I pass this along in tackling the bullying, including homophobia, bullying, cyberbullying, racist bullying, and the level of the narrative of combating bullying across the board. Because anybody in any level of stakeholding in business, finance, or any levels of organization, whether it's a big or large to small organization, you need to have these conversations for the well-being of your employees so they don't feel like they have to sit around here and accept a gay joke, a lesbian joke, or a bisexual or transgender joke to keep their job. It's not acceptable, and I will fire you. So with that being said, I hope this human rights level of TED Talk and this level of abundance love TED Talk. All right. To the LGBTQIQ community, this is a celebration of the Equality Act, and happy Pride! I'm so glad you guys got everything you needed, and I pray to God that you guys are continually supported, and I want to continue to offer my support and to continue with this narrative and understanding of that. And for all of you who are heterosexuals, you heterosexuals, I didn't say homosexuals, and I didn't say homosexual, I said hobosexuals. You homeless men who, wherever you lay your hat and call it home, homosexuals, heterosexuals and homosexuals. Stop being transphobic, homophobic, lesbianphobic, transgenderphobic, because it speaks volumes of your phobia, and you need not to do that. So with that being said, as your divorce coach, designcccoaching.com, bodyvacoaching.com, teamworld.online, and also imcc.com specialty appointments, you may drop a level of donation at $IMCC Coaching, Don Diva Coaching, Team World Online, for Talk Radio Diva. And you can go and do it monthly at talkradiodiva.com. And you may call 833-IMCC, 833-4MY-APPOINTMENT. That's on Diva Coaching, 833-BOOK-ME-TOO, and that's Team World Online. And that's your children, adolescents, and adults, and the Team World levels of destination motivation. Get up, get out and do something. Don't let the world pass you by. Log on, book your appointments at IMCC Coaching, Don Diva Coaching, Team World Online, IMCC.com, specialty appointment. And again, the Square Cash App or $ IMCC Coaching, $ Don Diva Coaching, $ Team World Online, and $ Talk Radio Diva. And you can do it with a QR code, and you can donate it over there. And you can click to which one you want to go donate to the expansion of business and our coaching practice. I appreciate all of you for attending this live. So this is our Abundance to Love seminar on LGBTQIA and acceptance of the abundance of love. And love is acceptance. Love is kind. Love is understanding. And love is not homophobic. Love is not biphobic. Love is not transphobic. So I hope you guys understand that. I'm going to take you guys out of here. And I'm done. Bye. Peace. Heart. Take care.